Hey, all you beautiful people, and welcome to the Glorious and the Mundane podcast. I'm your host, Christy Knuckles. It has been a minute, I know, but as you can imagine, I have needed a minute. But I'm really happy to be back with you sharing a little bit of life together this spring. I'm also really excited to be announcing that I'm releasing some very special music this week. My husband Nathan and I are celebrating 30 years of songwriting and worship leading together. When we were just dating, the first song we wrote together was called Lord, You Are My Stronghold. Some of you might remember that song from one of our earliest Watermark records, but this past fall also marked 25 years since we signed our first record deal as Watermark, and we wanted to commemorate these anniversaries by pausing and remembering. Looking back before we look forward this year, sometimes the best way to know where you're going is to remember where you've been. So this record is a celebration of 30 years of getting to write songs together and lead worship together, and 25 years since signing our first record deal. It's just a collection of songs from various seasons of our lives that I've either led or written on or never recorded, but many of them Nathan and I both have either written on or just led for many years. And they are songs that have blessed us and carried us, helped us heal. It's helped us express our hearts to God. And hopefully they've blessed and carried you on your journey as well. But it's also really exciting for me to think that some of these songs could be new to many of you. I think that's just as rewarding and beautiful. Around September of this past year, we began to talk about what this special commemorative album could look like. At that time, we imagined it being a live album where we would invite our community to come and worship with us. I imagined my parents both being there, of course, as well as other family members. So we began to plan and put dates on the calendar. But as you might remember from my last episode, I traveled most of October. And then, as you know, upon returning home, my mother became very ill very quickly, and we moved everything on the calendar. The live recording got moved to mid-January or so, and the hope was that somehow this was just a rough patch that my mom was going through, that she was going to pull through it. Well, as you know, she passed away much quicker than any of us ever imagined. In fact, we are still trying to wrap our minds and hearts around the reality that she's home with Jesus now. Well, Christmas came and went, and I would look at those dates on the calendar in January, and I wasn't quite sure what to do with it all. I couldn't fathom having the capacity to host an actual event while grieving my mother was still so fresh. So Nathan and I finally sat together and we talked about it. We decided to move ahead with the recording because you only get one chance to celebrate 25 years of something, right? But we both agreed that we had to be honest with ourselves with what this recording could not be. In the end, we chose for this to be a live in-studio album, meaning the only audience was a group of wonderful musicians, as well as our kids, you know, that we cherish our children and we love that they're willing to grace us with their gifts. Noah is playing guitar on this album. Eliana was filming those days, and Annie Rose is going to lend us her beautiful voice. We also had some special guests be a part of this album, a few really precious friends who are worship leaders that I'm really excited to tell you about later on. But some of you might remember that Nashville got a huge snow right in the middle of January. And lo and behold, that was the very week we had scheduled this recording. I'm not going to lie to you, it was stressful. Even though there were only about 8 to 10 people's schedules that we needed to consider, that's still a lot of schedules to try to sync up together. And we had rented gear and everyone had the days clear. Of course, we were watching the weather, but as we all know, snowstorms have a mind of their own. And when it finally began to fall, wow, did it begin to fall. And it was gorgeous and magical and really terrible timing. When we woke up the next morning, Nathan said to me, "What are the chances that the two things I love the most, like a big snow and getting to record an album, would happen at the very same time so that I'm having trouble being able to enjoy either one of them?" Well, y'all, it snowed and snowed. I think we got about 9 inches or so, maybe more, but to the point where there was no other choice but just to enjoy it. Yes, behind the scenes, we were every day trying to figure out what to do about the recording. But as my friend Tony Warnock says, we were also being met with the glory and majesty of God in a way that we simply could not dismiss. I posted on Instagram a few times that week. You can sneak over there and see those pictures and videos and just see how breathtaking it was out here at Keeper's Branch. But Nate and I ended up going on a walk that first afternoon after that big snow fell. And afterwards, I posted these words, "Snow, what a beautiful disruption." And I can't stop thinking about what snow in and of itself tells us about God's heart. The beauty, the covering, the quiet, the watering, even the invitation to stop and play. And to think that in just one snowball, no two snowflakes are the same. I'm sure like many others, this blanket of white appended some pretty important plans we had for this week. But we realized pretty quickly that we had no choice but to simply receive it for the gift that it is. To be honest, the new year had already kicked off into a pace that I wasn't quite ready for. My husband found me crying in my closet a few days ago, feeling completely unraveled by the simplest things. This snow felt like the Lord giving us permission once again to pump the brakes on the pace of life and make space for joy, to allow myself to smile, run, laugh, and play, to just breathe. I've been learning that joy is absolutely essential for healing, for moving forward and maturing, for having the life-giving instinct to settle into the love of God in a way that truly changes us, in a way that has us curiously asking, "Who are you, Lord, for real, that you have heavenly storehouses full of snow?" The album recording got moved to the next week, and though we had to juggle a few changes, all was well. In fact, as Nathan and I looked back on it, the Lord knew exactly what we needed. We were even able to pinpoint some ways that, with the new configuration and the timing, it was better. God knew better. He also knew that I deeply needed that snow. I felt tucked away for a few more days to be able to wrap my heart and mind even more around the gratitude I was feeling and getting to celebrate all these years of ministry together, come around these meaningful songs once more, to consider more fully the sacrifice of praise in a season of such grief and sadness, to consider more fully the joy in getting to sing a familiar song to the Lord in a season that feels really unfamiliar. In fact, I really have a sense that this is one of the ways that God wants to use the album for many of you, to be able to return to some familiar songs that may have even been a part of God drawing your heart closer to His in those days, and to be able to return to some of these songs in a time where the world feels very unfamiliar and uncertain. It reminds me of the songs of ascent that we find in Psalm 120 through 134. These were the familiar songs of God's people that were also known as pilgrim songs. They were sung along the uphill road to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple, during festivals. Families would walk along the well-beaten path to worship together as the people of God, and they would arrive already singing, and the songs on their lips, most of them, they would have sung their entire lives. Yes, we are to sing a new song to the Lord, but we also have a history and a heritage as God's people in returning to lyrics and melodies that remind us of our journey with the Lord. Songs that stir our memory of His faithfulness in every season, of His presence with us, come what may. Songs that remind us that He is our deliverer, our Savior, our keeper, and our shield. So the week after the big snow, we gathered here in our studio at Keeper's Branch, and we recorded an album that feels like an Ebenezer, as to say, look how He has led us this far. Up till now, the Lord has been our help. You can read about this in 1 Samuel 4, where Samuel sets up his stone of remembrance and named it Ebenezer, as a way of having a visual reminder in giving thanks to God that He showed up for His people. We're going to unfold this record a little bit at a time this spring, which is actually so fun. This week, Friday, March 8th, we will release the first EP called You Revive Me. And it features four songs recorded live here at Keeper's Branch. And the title track features my friend and fellow worship leader, Matt Marr. It felt like a reunion having Matt come out to the house and lead this with us. I first led You Revive Me in 2012 on a passion album called White Flag. Some of you might remember that. I will say it's not very often that I come across songs that I'm able to lead in such a way that it's as if I wrote it. This is definitely one of those songs for me. More on that later on, but Matt and I did write together on Lord, I Need You, which I'm so happy to say that I'm releasing that for the first time ever on this album. So I'm so excited about it. I'm so looking forward to sharing with you more in the next few weeks of what these songs have meant to me on my journey. And of course, as you know, it's never just about the songs for me. It's always about what God has invited me into and what he's inviting you into as we truly learn what it looks like to be surrendered to him, to follow him, to venture into him being our everything. Those are the things I want to share about as we remember these songs together in the weeks ahead. But today, I wanted to do what I promised you I would do back in December. I told you that I'd be back at some point this winter to share more around my mother's legacy and what I ended up writing and reading at her celebration of life service. Well, I know I'm a little late on this. After I initially posted a few things about my mother's passing, I knew that I needed to take some time to just be. Those first few posts were genuine, and they flowed from a very authentic place of me simply wanting to honor my mother and even just to acknowledge the enormity of her loss in my life. But as we all know, we can quickly begin to feel the pressure to share and even create content that shows that we're okay and processing and we're still hanging in there. Or we might feel like we need to preserve the legacy of the person we are grieving to keep their memory alive. Instead, the Lord has just kept reminding me to just be real with where I really am. And just like choosing to do a live in studio album versus hosting a large worship event, the Lord has just kept me in a place of being tucked away with him, still worshiping, still processing, still okay, yes to all of the above. Reading this feels very fitting as I'm also releasing this worship music this week. It has been very sweet and sacred to me to realize that worshiping Jesus is something that my mom and I can still do together. Me here, her there. But it's a beautiful reality that connects us. Her faith has become sight. Mine remains in the unseen, but we worship the very same King. I've been mindful of that over the last several weeks, even as I've led worship on a stage a few times. The Lord has given me an awareness of the beauty of getting to share this with her. And I want to stay aware of it. This collection of songs also feels very sacred to me in that my mother was truly my biggest fan and support. Whether it was my music or my book or my podcast or me leading at various events, she always wanted to know about it and hear about it, even when I didn't always want to talk about it. She cared. She would have loved this album. I'm not sure that digital streaming works where she is, but maybe she will be able to hear it somehow. That's just me wondering. But a few days after she passed away, we had discussed the details of her celebration of life. My dad asked all three of us kids to share if we wanted to. And I knew that I needed to write mine down. Had I just tried to share from what all was going on in me, I feared that I'd just weep the whole time. The Lord wired me to process through writing, and I knew that that is what I needed to do. So I sat down, and what I'm about to read you flowed out in a matter of minutes. I pray that it speaks to you deeply about your own legacy that you are leaving and that it reminds you of the beautiful weight and glory of your life. Even if you are not a mother in the physical, I believe this all still applies to those of you who choose to have a mother's heart in the spirit. Like many mothers do, my mother left me gold and diamonds, even a string of beloved pearls. For some, these treasures come in the form of noble metals like platinum, gold, and silver. And while my mother did have some special pieces of jewelry that I will treasure, the precious heirlooms I'm speaking of are eternal treasures, a spiritual legacy that is a part of an incorruptible kingdom that she gave her entire life to. As we've been remembering her and honoring her, part of that entailed going through some of her personal things. And I think it's pretty telling of her life when I think about what has made me cry the most these past few days. One of them being the first time that I went back to my mom and dad's home, the sweet cottage up on the hill. I saw her flower beds and her container gardens around the front door, and I realized how much I'm going to miss the way she loved planting things that grow beautifully, both physically and spiritually. I am one of those plantings, and this is why I had a big cry as I went through some of her Bible study materials. She had this huge tote that was dedicated just to teaching on our identity in Christ. Her passion to help others understand and live from who they truly are in Christ changed my life and my own ministry many years ago. As many of you know, it was my mother who led me to Jesus one sunny night when I was 7. Her life may have looked small and quiet, but the Lord has caused her legacy to go on and on, even around the world. She truly was tiny, but mighty. I also had several moments as the girls and I and Nathan went over and helped my dad put up the Christmas tree in honor of her. Almost every ornament was either homemade by her or it was an heirloom that she had held on to. She turned every corsage that she ever wore into a Christmas ornament. But then I came across her collection of homemade Jesse tree ornaments, an Advent tradition that journeys through Jesus's family tree. And I lost it. She made these with many of you who are in this room, and it made me think of her beloved community here in Tennessee and how she loved you all so much. And I know you dearly loved her. Those ornaments also reminded me of her undying conviction that the Word of God is true and how she loved sowing scripture into children's lives and giving them all kinds of experiences, especially at Christmas, to see the Word of God come to life. Many of you have gotten to see this firsthand as she's led some of your own children and grandchildren to sing for joy at Christmas time, complete with handbells and tiny choir robes, and let's not forget the angel wings made out of coffee filters. I am evidence of her love for Jesus and teaching children to worship, even at a very young age. I also had a good cry when I got into her clothes and her basket of scarves, which this scarf I'm wearing was hers. It reminds me of how she adorned herself both spiritually and physically, always dressing herself with such dignity and honor. I imagine that as I've read about some of these gold and diamonds that she left us, that your heart has either been filled with memories or at the very least inspired by the markings of a beautiful life lived for the glory of God. And when I think about the spiritual strand of pearls of her life, I can't help but see three pearls of wisdom that hang in the very center, and they are this. Seek first the kingdom of God. See the needs of others and respond. And suffer well for the glory of God. I know that in a room like this and those watching from across the miles, and even those of you who are listening to me as I read this now, we're all carrying hard things. Sometimes this world feels about as broken as it's going to get. But my mom would want us to pause, even in this very moment, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, believing that anything we need in this life, He will supply it. Whatever the worry is in your life today, seek God first about it. He is the answer you're longing for and waiting for. And in a culture of anxiety and worry and fretting about how our lives are going to unfold, I love that my mother was continually about the unfolding of others. Even since I was a little girl, I went on little mission adventures with her, whether it was delivering bags of groceries to a young single mother or sewing an Easter dress for a little girl who didn't have a mother. My mama, because of the Spirit of Christ in her, had the eyes to see others and to respond with His heart, His hands, and His feet. Like my precious mother, may we respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit to see others and to serve others in these days. And may we also suffer well to the very end. My mother understood the glory that suffering affords us. not our own glory, but the way that we get to point to the goodness and faithfulness of our God and how we live our lives on this earth, especially in hardship. One of her favorite passages of scripture has continued to mark my life, even in her most recent suffering. She quoted it to me the day she called to tell me that the results were positive, that she had cancer. And almost the same breath that she revealed the heartbreaking news, she said, "But I was reading this morning, and Psalm 118:24 tells us that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." She went on to say, this isn't talking about our response to God yesterday or our response to God tomorrow. This is about our response to Him today, even as it's brought this really hard news. She went on to say, and we don't have to rejoice in the news of this trial. We rejoice in the truth that God is sovereign and He made this day and He knew that it would come and everything that it would bring with it. And she wanted me to know that her response on that day and the days to come would be to choose to worship and rejoice in the God who made her and loves her. I can't imagine a better picture of what it looks like to suffer well and to live for the glory of God. Even as waves of grief come over us today, may we choose to worship and rejoice in the God who made even this day. I'll close with these lyrics that I wrote many years ago. I thought of them this morning as I was pondering the gold, diamonds, and pearls of my mother's life. I am not redeemed by corruptible things, not by silver, not by gold, and not by aimless tradition, but by the blood of God's sacred Son, Jesus. You alone are my living hope, and my inheritance is incorruptible. O sacred Son who paid the price, oh, may I live a grateful life that magnifies your name forever. I was talking to a friend not long ago after my mother's service, and I told her, you know, I talk about these three main pearls of wisdom that my mother left me, but I said, I imagine that this spiritual pearl necklace has a removable clasp where I can keep adding more pearls, because I have a feeling that I'm going to be finding pearls of wisdom from her life for the rest of my life. Well, I so look forward to walking with you this spring as I share more around what the Lord has been bringing me through. I hope that you'll listen to my new EP, You Revive Me, available March 8th, everywhere you listen to music. I say new, but as you've heard, these songs will hopefully be a familiar friend to you in this season, even a song in your heart that you recognize. Maybe there is one that got you through an incredibly hard season and you get to sing it from a place of newness. Whatever it is, I truly pray that this album is a blessing and a help to you. And okay, you know that I don't ask much of you in this department, but if this record is meaningful to you, please share it with your friends. That would bless us more than you even know. And the Lord sees and knows my heart in this, and it's probably common knowledge that there's just very little money in song streaming. But we just want these albums to accomplish what we set out in our hearts to do, and it's simply about partnering with the Holy Spirit to create music that helps others communicate with the living God. That is why we do what we do. That's been our mission statement for 30 years, and by God's grace, we have never wavered from it. It's just gotten harder and harder in this digital world for us to even get our posts about the albums to show up in your feed. So you automatically just sharing it with your friends authentically where you are, that is going to be the grassroots method that has worked time and time again, even before there was social media. So please share it with your people if it's blessing you. I look forward to spending time with you this spring, and I will talk to you soon.